Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Variant Cast. We're joined here on this wonderful, wonderful February day. I'm here with the man that has never found a Lord of the Rings rave that he didn't go to. Especially if you got the boy Frodo laying down some sick beats. How you doing, Trent?
That's facts. Came straight from Lord of the Rings themed rave and walked through the Desert of Spice and boxed my way all the way here to record a podcast.
So. Dang, yep. You hit all three right there.
Yep.
Right there. There's no confusion on what this episode's about. If you clicked on the video, no clickbait. We're going to be talking about Dune and we're going to be talking about Creed. No other show's doing it.
Nobody else.
I know there's a huge market for people that is like, you know, I like the Dune talk, but if only there was a bit more Creed. And then same thing for the Creed guys. They're like, I just need a little more Dune talk in my Creed episode.
Exactly.
We got you.
Yes,
so
we're
going to go ahead and start out with Creed. I mean, not Creed. We're not starting out with Creed. Sorry. This is so similar. Dune, we're going to be starting out with. I watched Dune for the first time on Sunday, which is like a few days. I don't want to break the fourth wall here, but yeah, I watched it a few days ago, and I've gotten to sleep on it for a couple days, think about the themes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Trent, you have already watched this movie. You watched it in theaters, I presume.
It was a pandemic film, so I watched it when it first came out. I have not seen it since then. I've only watched it the one time, but I watched it. I think as soon as it dropped on HBO Max.
Nice. Okay. So just doing a quick Google of the runtime. Yeah, it's about a 2-hour and 40-minute film, which I mean, people like to say, oh, it's a 3-hour movie. Blah 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 blah. Two hours and 36 minutes is the runtime. That's a pretty normal runtime to come out in like 2023.
Yeah.
So I don't see the length of the film as a criticism unless you do say like, okay, this is the first book that is split in half and it's 5 hours for the first book. But I think that's fine. I don't think it felt like too incomplete of a movie.
No.
There was certainly...
A cliffhanger. There's certainly like a cliffhanger that leads into the second half of the book, but I think that like it does really well to like set the tone for the world going forward and like establishing like kind of like what the pace is going to be and like I guess just establishing and fleshing out the world a little bit more so that people are ready to spend like. I think this next one's probably going to be 3 hours, and then the third one probably also going to eventually be 3 hours too. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. It looks like they have released the runtime. It is about 10 minutes longer.
Oh, okay.
Coming in at 2 hours and 46 minutes.
Okay.
So pretty much the same. It seems like they had a 5-hour movie, and they instead of Zack Snydering it, they made two films, which probably was obviously the vision all along. If Dune Part 2 does well, which it will, we'll probably get a Dune, whatever the second book is called. I don't know. I'm not up on my Dune.
Dune Part 2. That's what it's called, Ty.
Wait, the second book is called Dune
oh,
Part
oh,
2?
No. The second book is called Dune Messiah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it'll probably just be called like Messiah, a Dune story. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think that. I think it's a little bit. I think it's like half the length of the original Dune book. So
it'll probably.
Yeah, it'll be about the same length of the first two movies.
Nice. They got a nice little flow going. So
yeah.
Is there any more books? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure there's like five. There's pretty sure there's like 5 to 10 books.
Okay.
There's like the Children of Dune. There's a bunch of them.
Oh, I did a quick Google. There is 28 Dune books.
28 Dune books.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say probably not going to see all 28. of those made, but who knows? No. You know,
I think that they're saying, since I'm pretty sure that there's a time gap in between book three or book two and book three of like 400 years or something.
Oh, okay. So it's just basically a new story at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so so like the story of like Paul Atreides, like Timothée Chalamet's character, like he's only gonna probably live through the three books. And from what I understand, he like the rundown, the TLDR is essentially he becomes like Space Hitler.
I mean, that sounds fun. That gives me something to look forward to. I think they could obviously go in a bunch of different directions, so I don't think you guys are getting too spoiled here.
No.
Whatever it plays out, it's not going to be Space Hitler, although that would be fire if it was just literally Space Hitler.
It's following pretty closely to the book, so we'll see. We'll see.
So why don't you go ahead and tell us what you thought of it on your first viewing. You've had a few months to a year, a long time to sit on this.
Oh, yeah. I think this came out in 2021. So I've been sitting with it for about 3 years. I really liked it when it came out. I thought that the cast was really great. The music and I remember watching like a lot of behind the scenes of like just like how the sounds and stuff were like made in the movie and like how sound was used in it, and I found that all very fascinating. And I mean, Jason Momoa, he's probably one of his best, roles. Loved him in this role. Oscar Isaac was also great. Josh Brolin. Definitely just like would have seen it from the cast alone. I did start reading the book before it came out, and still trying to work my way through that one. But I thought that it was, from the parts that I did read of the book, I did probably get about halfway through what the movie covered in the book. I'll probably go back and read it at some point, but it did a really good job of adapting the book and the way that like it describes like their costumes and their armor and stuff. That was all super like down to like the minute details of like what is it described in the book. And I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I think that's probably the number one thing for me, is just how good it looked. I'll be, you know, proactive in saying this is not my type of movie. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely not my thing. The way the characters speak to each other, the way everything kind of, it's not typically my movie. Yeah. That being said, I did enjoy it. There was never a point where I was like, wow, this is a complete waste of time, because there's just so much to look at. Even if I'm like, I can't fully, get invested into the characters, regardless of what American state that they're named after, I can't quite get there. Just because they all kind of, feel a certain way. But I said this to you, I think yesterday you were in town. If you guys don't know, we live like 2 hours away from each other. He was in my area, and I was talking to him, and I was just like, yeah, this is basically The Phantom Menace if it was made as a good movie. And obviously there's the constant parallels between Star Wars and Dune, because Star Wars kind of just swooped in there, and made the movies first. So a lot of people think Star Wars first, but this was a Dune thing before anything. And there's definitely like, I guess you could say like the voice is like their kind of semblance of the Force, but I like the way the voice and the powers are explained in Dune a lot more than I do the Force. I think midichlorians is the stupidest thing in the world, as well as just like half of opinions about that. So dumb. But I think this is laid out well, and it's like realistic to me, in a sense of like, obviously we don't know what would happen in 10,000 plus year, 100,000. I didn't see. I know the date was like really long.
Yeah.
I don't know how many zeros were there, but it, when it's like laid out that way, it really does, I don't know, feel a bit more like I was able to identify with Paul a bit more, because it didn't feel like, oh, I just have this weird midichlorians in my blood because the Force told me I did.
Yeah.
So that's sick. There's actual like, hey, you know, this AI stuff, we let that get out of hand. So we're going to just push humans to their absolute limit. And I think the science behind it's a little goofy. I mean, the actions are a little goofy, but like, who am I to say? It's sci-fi, and it's I think it's a really solid sci-fi that's worth a watch if you're into sci-fi. If you're not into sci-fi, I think it's probably not super enjoyable, just because it relies so heavily on those sci-fi elements.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think if you're gonna make something in the genre and you want to make it really, you know, stand out, going full into the genre is not a bad thing. And I, you know, it, like you said, it sounds like they followed the books pretty closely, so I can't really complain about how they did anything, because this is an adaptation after all. I think Timothée Chalamet had a great performance as well. Hadn't really seen him in anything. Now watch Wonka and this. I could say he's a good actor. Don't know where the hate that I saw came from, because this dude can absolutely act. And I think he's going to be definitely kind of a defining actor of this generation for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And going back to like their like faithfulness to the book, I remember them talking about how like very similar to how the Lord of the Rings movies were made, and how Peter Jackson taught the, or told the actors to like treat the books as if they were like a Bible, and like stuff that like actually happened. And they like treated it with like total seriousness, and no sense of self-humility, I guess. And just like truly just like act as if like this is like happening. And I thought that was really cool. And it truly does feel like it's like this generation's Lord of the Rings. And if they finish off this trilogy right, I think that like it could join the zeitgeist of like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, like Dune, you know. I can't think of the other any other like books that like had just a solid series of movies that probably like won't be touched for a long time, that will probably be timeless.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, especially in terms of effects. I kind of glossed over how good the film looks, but it's a timeless movie. And I do worry about a lot of the MCU movies in that regard. If we look at those in like 20 years,
yeah,
the CGI that was okay, is that going to be rough to look at? Maybe, maybe not, because I feel like CGI hasn't gotten worse, like a lot of people say, but it's gotten a lot more volatile, in the sense that there's so many different studios doing graphic, like video effects at this point, mm-hmm, that the inconsistency between like films is just, it's a lot more noticeable. I think in the past, like there was probably a lot less of these studios that were making these big budget films. So I think really that's more what we're seeing. Obviously, Marvel and their crunching, so there's added aspects to that. But I think it's definitely a it like you said, gonna be a timeless film, at least part one and part two. I would agree, as long as they don't somehow completely fumble part two, which I don't really think is possible from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're set up really well, and this will most likely get a third movie. I think that's I don't know if that's confirmed already, but I'm confirming it right now.
Yeah, I think that it was kind of the same thing with the first movie. They were like, we're just gonna wait, and then once they get the script like completely solid, then they'll do it. But
I think this is the first movie of the year. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the first movie of the year, Dune Part 2.
Yeah.
This is the first one that, like, you have to see in 2024. So I think based on that, based on the fact that a lot of movies have underperformed, it kind of feels like we're due for one. And I think this is the one. So I think Warner Bros., they made the right call with this. I don't know how much the rights to this cost, but probably not nearly enough.
Yeah. There was a Dune movie made back in the 80s or something. And, I'm not sure who that was produced by, but yeah.
I always get a little sick when I hear that like film rights were bought in like the 90s. I don't know if this is advice that could be given anymore because people probably know this, but I wish I could go back in time and be like, yo, don't sell the film rights to this character for $20,000. If you do it, make sure it's like a renewable deal. Don't just sell the complete rights. Get royalties. Outright. Yeah. Yeah, no, get a percentage, man. Don't just sell the film rights and call it good. So that's Dune. We talked a bit about Dune Part 2 and kind of the expectations of that, but we'll be watching that. So make sure to check back. It looks like that comes out, what, in March something?
March 1st, I think.
March 1st, so... less than a month away at this point, so stay tuned for that. But something you don't have to stay tuned for, because it is right now, right in the second, is a little Creed retrospective. So we do the no negotiation recommendation for these episodes going on. I gave Trent Creed, and he volunteered just to watch all three, and I got Dune. So
yeah,
I watched Dune. You watched all three Creed movies, and first off, before we go into that, have you seen any of the Rocky movies?
Yes, I think I've seen a majority of them.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you which ones without actually looking at them, but yeah, I've seen like three or four of them.
I feel like the Rocky movies and the Creed movies really are just defined as by the main antagonist. Like, oh, it's the one with Drago. Oh, it's the one with blank, 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 whoever it is in that point.
Yeah.
That's really how you define those movies. No, I don't think anyone actually knows Rocky 1, 2, whatever, however many there are. There's four or five.
And then, there's like four, and then there's like one called Rocky Balboa or something like that.
Yeah, but I guess starting with Creed 1, this film came out in 2015. I think this is really the start of Michael B. Jordan and Tessa Thompson, for that matter, descent into like superstardom. He was a star before this. I'm not saying this put him on the map or anything, but I think this was really his defining role going into, you know, the 2020s. And what did you think about it, Trent?
I thought it was really good. This was the one movie out of the trilogy that I had seen, and it was a good movie to revisit. I didn't remember a lot that happened, but yeah, I thought that it was a really good movie, especially upon a rewatch. I think that it's a good speaking in terms of this trilogy. I think that it's like a good place for, I think it's a great movie because it not only takes like all the fans of Rocky and kind of like introduces them into like kind of like a new like era of filmmaking, almost like a new I guess a new generation of filmmaking, but
Coogler,
with Ryan Coogler, but it also like does a good job of not like panhandling stuff and like kind of like forcing a lot of the Rocky stuff. And I thought it was really good. I thought that the fights were really good in the first movie. They're like, each movie has unique fight scenes and they're all filmed differently, but the first one I thought was a lot more like intimate than the others. I've thought that like you could really like feel like you were right there in the ring with him, and especially like there's like a shot where like he gets hit and he hits the floor I thought that was a good shot. And
yeah.
Yeah, I just thought I thought it was really good.
One thing I do like about the Creed franchise, we'll talk more about this as we get into 2 and 3, but none of the three movies feel the same in terms of the fight scenes. Seems like each one kind of has a more distinct style than the other. And I like that. Obviously, some people may think it gets silly or whatever, but I think Creed took what Rocky did and really elevated it in terms of the cinematography of the boxing. And then, you know, Creed 2 did the same thing. Creed 3 did the same thing. And maybe they crank it too far. Who cares? I just like that it's different because you can only watch a couple people punch each other so many times when it's the same rule set. Obviously, like in action movies, you could do all this choreography, different flips, different trips, anything, whatever it is. You could do that stuff. But in boxing, there's a rule set. So how can you switch up these fights? How can you make them interesting? Pretty much every single Rocky movie is him getting his ass kicked for like 5 rounds, and then he turns it on at the end, and it's this big moment. So like, how do you keep doing that? Obviously, that builds suspense. That shows that he's a fighter. How do you do that over and over again? I thought the makeup in this movie definitely stands out. I think this is the one that has the eye.
Yeah,
one of the better looking like swollen eyes I've ever seen. As a special effect. Really, really convincing. Like you're watching it, and there's not a lot of times you'll be watching a movie and like you're kind of cringing at it because it's just like, God, his eye, man. Don't do that.
Yeah, and they just let him just keep going. Like, they should have checked him again after he was like already get up to go. They should have asked him if or to read off the numbers again, and he would definitely wouldn't have been able to, I feel like.
Yeah. But I always felt like Creed was, you know, you could say it's a movie about sports, but I always kind of felt like it was a romance movie that had like the guise of sports and boxing and chasing greatness and stuff, because I feel like the whole franchise, I guess less so in 3, and I guess that would be my only complaint about not only, but is like Tessa Thompson's character, Bianca. I think she's comes off pretty likable in this. And I don't know, even though they don't have like the best chemistry, it's a super believable relationship to me. And you let, like, at least I'm like rooting for it. Like, I'm not wanting it to fail. I'm like, you know, I have some emotional investment in it, and then I get to watch some cool boxing scenes, and then I get out of there in about 2 hours, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling motivated to go punch something.
Yeah, seriously.
So Creed 1 did about a 95% on Rotten Tomato, 82% on Metacritic, 7.6 on IMDb, and 87% of Google users liked it. So it's an interesting kind of spread there, but as you know, guys, Rotten Tomato score, not a rating. It's a thing. Source on that? Source? Creed 2. Let's go ahead and get into that one. What did you, real quick, rate Creed 1 out of 5 stars there?
So last night I rated it, but I think I'll bump it up to 4.5 stars. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you gave it a 4 originally.
Yeah, I gave it a 4 originally.
Yeah, that's fair. That's good. And if you guys are curious of any of our reviews, we do have our letterbox below here. So feel free to look at that if you want to critique the inconsistency in my movie views. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Creed 2, it's more of the same. You get Dolph Lundgren coming back as Ivan Drago. And you get another like legacy storyline. While the first one was all about Apollo's son, this one's about Apollo v. Drago, and there's some real heat here. And I think when you do these soft reboots, a lot of people, I think probably for the first one, were saying, why does this have to be in the Rocky universe? Why does he have to be Creed's son? Why can't you make it a new franchise? I think this movie really showed the advantages of having it in like this Rocky universe, because I felt like there was a lot more like stakes to this fight, because, you know, Drago literally killed his dad.
Yeah, like, definitely. Yeah. And yeah, the casting of Drago's son, like, that guy's huge. Yeah. And like, I feel like they did a great job also of like, every time you're just like, how's he gonna just like make it through this alive, even? I was like, I know that I got one more movie after this, but like, he literally looks like he's just like about to die. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And they do a really good job of doing this in the second movie. And it kind of does a Spider-Man 2 thing where he dips off using his quote unquote abilities, if I'm using Spider-Man terms, but he like quits boxing, and then he kind of like goes through some life stuff, and then eventually gets back into it. But I thought that it felt like it was like a good sequel formulaic film, but I thought it worked with the formula really well, and that I thought that was really good.
I think this is the film that's, I think, lowest rated critically, coming in at about a 82% on Rotten Tomato, and then 66 on Metacritic, 7.1 on IMDb, but 90% of Google users, those Google users, they be piping up. I think the thing that brought it down for me was the weird like subplot of Drago's son, if you know what I'm talking about, of like Russia, but he's actually from Ukraine, but he got like annexed, he was from Russia, got like annexed to Ukraine. It's very strange.
Was that the whole subplot with his mother, or like his mom or whatever?
His mom was like, yeah, you aren't good enough. I don't know. Like they treat like the Russians like savages, right? They treat them like they don't care about anything other than winning. And it's like, fine, if you want to do that, fuck the Russians, I guess. But then the final fight takes place in Russia. And like, look, I understand it's 2016, 2017 in the film, something like that. 2018 in the film. In 2018, we're super forward. Look, a black man cannot go into Russia and get cheered. I'm sorry. That's just the reality of the situation. I don't care how good of a fight he puts on. It's Russia. They are not going to cheer the American guy winning. There's just not a shot. So I thought that was a little bit silly, especially if you're going to treat the Russians, all the Russians in the movie, like these cold-hearted, you know, people. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, what a great fight. I'm on board with this this American thing. So, well, I think the setup with it being Drago's son is pretty genius. I say genius, but it really is kind of easy to do. But I think the execution was a little messy. They should have either given him an actual backstory fully fleshed out, or just axed it and make him this evil person, no sympathetic side. Because trying to half-ass a sympathetic side, I don't think it worked.
Yeah, I guess that didn't even really come through for me when I was watching it. I was like kind of confused at the end when like the mom just like got like the mom just got up and left. Like I thought that was what Dolph Lundgren was talking about. How he was like my mom or your. My wife left me because I lost.
It's a very strange subplot. It is confusing. It's a confusing kind of thing. And I don't know if I got it 100% right. So if I'm wrong, correct me in the comments. But like, it's a very confusing bit of plot, and it feels like stuff was cut to maybe trim it down. This one came out at about 2 hours 10 minutes. Ty, maybe it was looking to be
okay.
Oh, Okay. Audio. Anyways, this one came in at about 2 hours and 10 minutes. And I think the what most likely happened is there's probably like 20 more minutes of movie. And like some producers were like, we can't release a 2.5 hour movie about boxing. So you're going to have to trim this down. And the stuff that got trimmed was the Drago stuff, because it really feels like there's like two or three scenes missing.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely seems like the weakest out of the three of them. And I thought that if we want to go into the third one, I thought that the third one did a good job at reinventing the franchise and doing a spin on it that wasn't like, because the end of the movie was all about he became his own legacy and his own fighter, and how the next one just started out with him just instantly just like being like, you know, hot shit and running the gym and
I agree. Where
did yours pause?
Yeah it did, but like I didn't talk, so we're good. We could stay in it, keep it moving. Having some technical difficulties as winter storm goes over. I say that, I have no idea why. I have no idea. Charter Communications, get your crap together. I heard the part where you said they reinvented as Trent freezes again, but we're doing, this is like a 1.5 person podcast here. One of us takes a turn, has no idea what the other says. We come back, try to piece it together. Hopefully Trent said something about them kind of reinventing what this movie was. And you kind of had to break it down and bring it all back to kind of get an idea of what to do next. Because I think Trent kind of hit it on the head when it came to Creed 2, is I kind of did feel like kind of pretty safe sequel. It's a good movie, but I think this one took a bit more risks, and I think those risks did pay off. Watching this movie does make you even sadder about the Jonathan Majors stuff, because he absolutely kills it in this role. But overall, what did you think of the action scenes? Because I think that's the most notable part about the movie for me.
Yeah, I thought that the use of slow motion cameras was super cool. There was only a handful of shots where that was used, but the slow-mo shots were super cool. Just seeing like the up-close jabs and stuff to what they when they were hitting each other. And so are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. Hopefully we don't have too much audio. It's weird. It's like the entirety of Discord is freezing, not just like the audio. It's a very strange thing. I'm trying to like close things. I don't know. It's weird. Anyways, you were talking about the
slow motion cameras and and how it would like would always go or a handful of times it would go up close with the jabs, and it would show up in slow motion, and I thought that was a really cool use of that.
Yeah, and then like I think it was Michael B. Jordan, he did have more input on this one, as you tend to do when you make it three films into a franchise. You can kind of start throwing your weight around.
He directed this movie too.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Look at that. Coogler did do the story. Yeah. That's a heck of a directorial debut. It's a pretty big budget directorial debut. It was written by Coogler, so he had that help. But he was super into the like kind of anime side of things. He's a big anime guy, and I think you get kind of the Dragon Ball Z aspect. If you ever wanted to know what a live-action Dragon Ball Z thing would be, I think Michael B. Jordan would be a pretty decent bet, because he gets it, because those scenes when like the one where the crowd, he turns the crowd's just not there,
and
they're just like fighting one-on-one, like that was cool. I was like, okay,
yeah, that scene was super cool. And he's like looking at him, and he sees him, like, and it flashes back to like his childhood. You see Damien as a child, and yeah, and then they just box, and it's like there's no ref. There's the ref isn't even there. Like, it's literally just them. It's super cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really just fun story. I think it's a bit unbelievable of a story, and kind of feels like if two is yeah. a sequel, three is like, hey, we gotta make something up to have a third movie, and they absolutely just made yeah. something up. Like the entire plot is built around like this convenience store like robbery thing that turns into like a guy dying, and then Damien, Jonathan Majors' character, taking the fall, going to prison, coming out of prison, and just being like the top boxer in the world. Dude was an animal, I guess, and was, you know, kind of goofy setup, but yeah. I think it worked mainly because of the performances of Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors. They really made it work despite the silly story, which, considering that was done by Coogler and the directing was done by the. You would kind of expect it to be the other way around, but
yeah,
you know?
They should have, now that, I just thought of this, they should have done a Fast and Furious style retcon where, like it cuts back to the first movie where like the mom takes him, and then it just like pans over, and you see the kid just sitting there like all pissed off.
Oh my God. I would have lost it at that. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened in a yeah. sense, obviously not literally, but in a sense. Yeah. And it definitely portrays Adonis as kind of an asshole. Just cause like, obviously he had his reasons. He couldn't just like take it back. Like he couldn't do that, but I don't yeah. know. It was an interesting kind of situation he had going on there. But I think the movie in general, it's a nice, it's the shortest one at an hour and 56 minutes. 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, 73% on Metacritic, 6.7 on IMDb, but only 78% of Google users like this. So Google users all over the board with it, but it seems like the majority of critics agree Creed 3, then Creed 2. But overall, super solid trilogy. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what they do with the Creed franchise. I would love them to just take a new fighter and just continue it. Like, you don't need to watch the Rocky franchise, but it's just kind of a fun thing to have these characters popping up. And you can instantly recognize them. Like, even, like, Drago's son. Like, say in 10 years they make another movie and Drago's son comes out speaking all Russian and stuff, people are going to be like, oh, it's Drago's son.
Yeah.
Without even seeing the Creed franchise, you would know. So, like, these characters are enough of a caricature, and kind of more of a stereotype of boxing that I think it's kind of just a fun, kind of reminds me of Nintendo's Punch-Out a little bit with just like the characters that they would have in there, but you're keeping this like legacy going. I say go for it. Like, who cares? I know everyone's kind of against the convoluted cinematic universes, but I think this is one of the most like linear cinematic universes ever. So
yeah, I could easily see them doing like just some random, like a spinoff of, yeah, and just keep it this franchise going, but not having it under the Creed name. I think that, I think this works as a solid trilogy. I think that things work, somehow work perfectly in threes, and all three of these movies seem really solid.
Yeah, it is strange that we got to the point where like a trilogy is like a normal thing. Like that's like what you come to expect. Having like four movies is kind of strange.
Yeah.
Which it's like four chapters sounds more normal to me like than three chapters, but I don't know. I think it's just more if a movie, like a movie's lifespan generally is like a franchise's lifespan. If it's like 10 years, movie every 3 years, I think that's the logic behind it.
Yeah.
Kind of boom, 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 space them out. If you're going to be releasing them like that. So maybe that's it. But yeah, the Creed franchise in general, I definitely recommend it. I think if you're a fan of sports movies in general, that's the best trilogy that has come out. I don't even know when other sports trilogies are few and far between. So
yeah, I can't think of another one. yeah, this is a solid one. I hope to see more, just like movies that, like more sports movies that are that like get more like intimate with the characters, like it does.
Yeah, no, I'd love to see watching this. I'd love to see, like, you know, Coogler or like Michael B. Jordan tackle a basketball, like football movie, just because I think this, the way they did Creed, hasn't really been done. I think most basketball football movies are pretty samey. They all kind of follow the same Coach Carter hustle kind of vibe. I don't know how to explain it. This one kind of got a bit sillier, and I like that, while also staying grounded and the illusion of seriousness, while not taking itself too seriously.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that is the Creed franchise as well as Dune. So those were our no negotiation recommendations for last week. We got a couple more for this week, as well as some results for the Rot or Tot, and we got to address some controversy with the Rot or Tot. But before we do that, we'll go ahead and get into the no negotiation recommendations. So, Trent, what do you got for me this week?
So I'm going to give you it's 2021 movie, Bullet Train, starring
Bullet Train,
Brad Pitt,
David Bad Bunny,
Henry, Bad Bunny. Yep.
All right. Okay.
Directed by the Deadpool director. It's a fun, like, action, like, I guess it's a little bit of a kung fu movie, I guess. Yeah, I believe it's like a short two hour movie. It's a fun time. You'll enjoy it.
Okay. It's one of those movies I've been trying to get myself to watch, but like, because I really only see like a random like excerpts of action scenes, and I'm like, oh, what an interesting movie, and then kind of the discourse around it is pretty meh. But I'm always interested when the discourse around something like that is meh. Like, why? Let's find out, and I'll report back next week and let you know.
Yeah.
And for you, I got a. We were just talking about the directorial debut. I got a directorial debut for you. Unless you count comedy specials, but Bo Burnham, he made a film called Eighth Grade, and it is 2018 film. It's got a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.4 on IMDb, and 87% on Metacritic. Really critically acclaimed film. It is a comedy horror film set in the eighth grade. So interesting kind of setup. There's a few scenes that made me feel kind of weird to watch, and I'm interested to see what your takes on it. It's got a budget of about $2 million, so you know, low budget. I guess that is low budget for today, but it's coming of age thing, and it's like a rated R movie starring 12-year-olds. So
A24.
Fun times. A24, we got the shirt on. Let's go. And then we have to discuss some controversy, as for my Rot or Tot, picked a movie that doesn't exist, or has, it can't be confirmed or denied. When I was Googling it, I couldn't really find anything about it at the time, but I just kind of trusted the site that I was on. It was just one of those like movie releases sites, and here's all the movies coming out in February, and I picked the Chance the Rapper Sesame Street movie. And I've come to find out that it's not really listed anywhere, nor is it like a movie that exists. I really am confused by it. So if you type in like Sesame Street movie, it comes up on the IMDb. Okay. It, you know, has an IMDb page. There's no news about it. There's a ton of articles from like 2020 about Chance the Rapper being on the movie, but then no one has ever talked about it. Like, I understand there's not like a huge, like, I guess, following for the Sesame Street movie. There's probably not a lot of interview questions being asked about it, but it's just interesting because there was a lot of big names attached to it, that it just hasn't had any updates. And it, to me, seems like it's been canceled because this is back March 3rd, 2020. So we're coming right out of COVID. And they were like, oh, Chance the Rapper joins the cast of Sesame Street. It's a big deal. He's joining forces with Anne Hathaway in Sesame Street movie. Not a real movie. No one has spoken on it. No one cares. So I'm going to have to pivot, pick a new movie that is hopefully real. And it's got to be a tot. It's got to be a good movie. So that's the other thing. Part of me wants to be a psychopath and pick Madame Web, but I'm not that crazy. So I need a movie that's coming out. I'll go with Parallel. It's a, it follows the journey of Vanessa, a grief-stricken woman who mysteriously finds herself navigating between parallel spaces. It's a drama sci-fi thriller. Okay. So yeah, coming out February 23rd. Directed, I don't think this is an American movie. But who cares? All the same. Unless it doesn't get Rotten Tomatoes scores, in which case I will just take the L, but I'm putting all the eggs into the Parallel basket, coming soon, releasing February 23rd. But something that is already out, actually I lied, but by the time we release this, it'll be out. But the reviews are out for Lisa Frankenstein, and we actually don't have a conclusion just yet, you know? Because the rules of this is it has to be not certified, but it, like, by the end of the month, right? And it's currently sitting at a 53%. So it could easily, with 53 reviews at 53%, it could easily get into that 60% realm, but it's currently looking like you have a W on your hands, Trent.
Yeah. There is there's a few people who like the BV in the Rotten Tomatoes review section, but
there's the majority of people, actually 53% of
them. Yeah, it's true, 53%. But yeah, I'm hoping that not that I wish anything bad upon Cole Sprouse, but
or Zelda Williams.
Yeah, or Zelda Williams, but this movie just did not look like it.
It didn't, but you know, 5.7 on IMDb, so generally the IMDb score is lower than the Rotten Tomatoes. So the fact that it is higher, maybe it's got some come-ups coming. It hasn't technically been released. It's got 2 days, but some critics have gotten their hands on it. Who knows? Who knows? But what we do know is the news. I actually don't know the news. Trent knows the news. I just got the rumors and the leaks. So Trent, why don't you let us know what's been happening in the world of Hollywood or the internet or whatever we got.
Yeah, so there hasn't been a lot of news since we only recorded just a few days ago. But now something big was Gina Carano. She got fired from The Mandalorian a couple years ago from... For some derogatory comments that she made on social media, and she is now suing Disney because apparently she thinks that she was wrongfully terminated, and who's funding this other than Elon Musk?
Oh.
Yeah. Because why not?
I thought it sure would be the Daily Mail.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're funding her movies, but whatever movie she's going to make next. But
Gina Carano has completely killed her career. Like, yeah. It's not just Disney. No one will touch her other than... That's why she's doing movies with the Daily Mail. Like,
yeah.
Like, don't, like, I think I don't know. That, it's,
I think that, she's trying to make it to where, like, they can't make any more Mandalorian seasons or something because she was, like, just, like, cut out of the cast, even though maybe she had more in her contract. But from what I heard, like, she was given several opportunities to backtrack, like, her comments, or, like, even, like, was asked personally by Jon Favreau to apologize, and, like, she was just like, no, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. The crazy, crazy concept, guys. Disney's a private company that can privately decide who to employ and not to employ, and she has a contract that she signed, and this is just a publicity stunt. But, yeah, cool. Mandalorian and Grogu.
Yep.
It's going to be in 2026. Are you surprised by that? Thought it might be sooner, or kind of what you expected there?
I still think maybe we'll get a season 4 before that, so that doesn't totally surprise me. Give them a few years to develop the movie and come up with something that'll really be special to bring back Star Wars to the big screen, because I feel like it can't just be like a sequel to The Mandalorian where it's like Ahsoka, where it's like it felt like a season 5 of Rebels. Like, I feel like it needs to be a movie.
It definitely feels like making the same Marvel's mistake where I won't say it's the reason the movie failed, but a lot of people were like, I didn't watch Miss Marvel. I don't know who Miss Marvel is.
And yeah.
It's a Disney Plus show. I don't... The Marvels? Yeah. I know who Captain Marvel is. Who's the Marvels? I haven't seen any of this. So I do worry that this kind of does that same thing, where it's like, the Mandalorian... Do I need to know... Do I need to watch all the Mandalorian to understand this? How do you have, like, a $700 million grossing film... with that, is that a real concern, or is that just something maybe we as audiences perceive about the industry? But it currently feels, like a bad idea.
Yeah, right now, I'd say like 60% of the world has seen a picture of Baby Yoda at some point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and like, as long as they don't make it feel like you have to watch The Mandalorian, I feel like people would be like, oh, this is the first Star Wars movie with the Baby Yoda, you know? And then they'll go see it.
Yeah. Maybe just call it Star Wars The Last Yoda.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they'll be doing that. I got a couple more if you want a couple. Yeah.
No, give me a couple more. That was an easy segue into the Mandalorian thing.
Yeah. So Percy Jackson renewed for season 2.
Let's go. Sea of Monsters.
That. Yep. Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan, relevant topic.
The boys.
They're making a secret movie at Warner Brothers right now. So nobody knows what it is. Could it be the Michael B. Jordan Superman movie that was rumored a long time ago? You know,
I doubt that, because they're doing it already in development with the Superman movie. I also doubt that it would be Static Shock, but I will say Michael B. Jordan comes off as a guy that would absolutely love Static Shock, so I would not put it past it. Especially like with the Black Panther connections, if you're talking about like iconic black superheroes, Static Shock really does take the cake for that. And I think it is time for a movie, with him in it. And I think that would be the perfect duo to do that. However, I think it probably wouldn't be considered a secret movie. They would want to hype that thing up. So I think this is probably a passion project of some sort.
Yeah. That, I feel like it's something would have leaked.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there definitely would have been something saying Ryan Coogler.
But I do think James Gunn will do Static Shock 100%.
Oh yeah, it seems like an easy easy one for this new generation of heroes.
Yeah, easy W.
Yeah, so we're getting a surprise Moana movie that so apparently there's a Moana sequel coming out this year.
Isn't it I thought they were making like a live action Moana.
So they are making a live action, but I guess they're also making a Moana 2.
What the fuck is going on, man?
Yeah. Who knows? So
I mean, I'm sure it'll be good. Like those movies generally are good. I just don't get it, but hey, I don't see Moana as this big franchise, but also there's a lot of people that live in places like Indonesia and Pacific, like Oceania countries, and there is a huge market for that kind of stuff, even though that's like not the same culture, obviously. But at least just that side of the world doesn't have a lot of representation. So go into it.
Yeah. So the last week before we talked about possibility of a new Jurassic World movie, and right. I was real excited about that, if you remember. So apparently the John Wick director is in talks to do this one, so yeah. Who knows what that means. Could be give me a movie point of view of a dinosaur and have it be John Wick style, but point of view of a dinosaur. That's what
Raptor. Raptor gets his pack of raptors killed.
Yeah,
his boys, and he's just terrorizing the streets, killing humans. That would be sick, actually, from the dinosaur's perspective, killing the humans.
Yeah,
that's what we got to do. 100%. Yeah,
you see that on the biggest screen as possible.
Yeah. And the dinosaurs, they talk with like the classic like peanut butter in the mouth trick, so the voice don't like line up 100%. Peanut butter in the mouth trick on a CGI creature. That's it. Pedro Pascal, he's a guy who's apparently gonna be Reed Richards, as we've already found out. But you know, apparently they're getting the checkbooks, they're getting the locations, and they're going to be filming soon. Feels like just another time to talk about Pedro as Mr. Fantastic. And I don't know if that news came out while this show existed, but not today. So Pedro Pascal, he's Mr. Fantastic. What were your like initial thoughts when this came out?
I said that... I think that was in one of our in-person episodes that we talked about this.
Okay.
But I said that he would definitely wasn't my first choice, but I think we both agreed that he could do any role that's presented in front of him.
Yeah.
And I think that he'll do great with it, even though that he wasn't necessarily the first person I would have thought of when I was fan casting Reed Richards.
Yeah, not at all. He doesn't generally play like uber intellectual characters. It's more of the everyman military type, or we've seen him do other stuff, and he's a super talented guy. And I probably said this exact same thing in the in-person episode, but the audio is worse. So, you know,
yeah.
He's going to knock whatever role out of the park. And I think this sets the tone for the rest of the team, because it's, you know, he's going to elevate whoever he's next to on screen. We saw it in Last of Us. He's gonna do it. He's fucking Pedro Pascal, and I think this is a better move than John Krasinski. I think Pedro's a much better actor than John Krasinski. Not hating on John Krasinski in any way, but thinking about him in the Multiverse of Madness and just kind of like how he was, and maybe that was just that movie, and like with different direction he'd be better.
Yeah.
I didn't like completely feel like that's Reed Richards right there, that's who I want. And I'm excited to see Pedro with the gray on the sides and in the suit. I think it's gonna look nice, so I'll look forward to that, and it's begun filming, so
yeah, I'm excited to see cool. All the cast, and excited to see their spandex uniforms with the little fours on them. No straps like in Fanforestick. I saw a picture that I didn't even know that apparently they're so in Fanforestick, so their costumes, they're just like black, but they have straps. But like the straps kind of form an F. And I'm just like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. You know, some costume designer was in the lab with that, like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Oh yeah, he's like, it's so subtle. It's so subtle. People aren't gonna
I can already imagine the social media post just talking about how genius this is. r/movie details right there, front page. Let's go. Let's go with Josh Brolin. You hear this? Josh Brolin. He's hearing stuff through the grapevine.
No.
He's got his ear to the grapevine.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying he's been hearing some stuff about Thanos returning. Through the grapevine.
Interesting.
Who knows if this is true? But the grapevine.
Yeah.
I'm getting this from a different grapevine. So my grapevine is telling me that Josh Brolin is hearing this through the grapevine. Who knows if either of these grapevines are correct, but I think we'll probably get this in Secret Wars. We'll get some Thanos and he'll probably die again, would be my guess. I think they'll want to have whoever the main villain of the Avengers thing probably kill Thanos, and it'll be like, whoa.
Yeah. Or it'll be something where like Doom spawns like a Thanos or something. I don't know, like somehow.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they like pull him, they open another, like someone opens a portal, all the heroes run in, it's very endgamey, and then the villain opens another portal and all the villains run in, and it's even more endgamey.
Yeah.
Oh god, that sounds awful, but I want to see it. So, who knows? I think that's really all I got. Most of these rumors are pretty much the same as your news, like Deadpool and John Wick director.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a big correlation between news and rumors these days. Is it, we're blurry lines.
Yeah.
There.
I did see that a bunch of companies are going to have Super Bowl ads. So I think that I want to say Disney was one of the few companies that's going to have commercials during the Super Bowl. But there's going to be no Warner Brothers movies, no Sony movies. No, probably Sony movies. They're probably going to do a Madam Web. But there's a lot of companies that aren't going to do commercials.
I don't know if the Madam Web marketing budget has that much left in the tank. Yeah, there's no way.
Very true.
I don't think so. I think that's really the reason. I'm sure a lot of people are like looking into this, but at the end of the day, the film industry, the economy's down. Really the only things that are thriving are commercial products, like always. So you'll see car commercials, you'll see your Doritos commercials, you'll see all of that. But like the entertainment industry is not at its peak right now.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be spending your marketing budget, I don't know necessarily that the Super Bowl is the wisest bang for your buck. So I understand Disney doing it, they're Disney, but I don't fault Warner Bros at all, because it's an expensive spot.
Yeah. I think that we're definitely going to get a Deadpool trailer, or a Deadpool first look, along with a title reveal. Kevin Feige went to it's like the Saturn Awards or something, and he was wearing a hat that had the Deadpool name on it, but nobody could read it. It was on the back. The picture wasn't high res enough for people to see what he was actually wearing. So nobody knows what the title was, except for, I guess, the people that were at the Saturn Awards.
Interesting. I think that does confirm it's not Deadpool kills the MCU, as some people have wanted it to be. After the famous Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe storyline. I think that would have been fun, but obviously it was unrealistic. I think he might kill a few characters. I think they're going to use this kind of shamelessly to retcon a lot of stuff in the MCU.
Yeah.
So it's going to be completely shameless, and it may even come in another one of those after credit scenes, where he's just like retconning a bunch of stuff out of there. But just going full on, like, oh, we'll do this. Maybe it would be really cool if they brought Terrence Howard back and he like goes in and like pushes him out of the way and brings in Don Cheadle, something like that.
Yeah,
would be fun. I could definitely see a lot of jokes at the MCU's expense, and I think they're game for that. Just wanting to be like, hey, look, we're cool, we get it, we understand, we're kind of lame.
Yeah,
haha.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I think that's all we got for this show, but a yep. Solid show. Had our first, I won't say our first technical difficulties, we have a few technical difficulties, but it was a fun little 10 minutes in there where it was a 1.5 person podcast. So hope you enjoyed that. We'll see what it sounds like after Trinket's in the lab with that. So shout out to Trent as always for making sure the audio sounds as good as it does. And shout out to you guys for watching this full episode, and hope we see you again next week. You got any parting words for us, Trent?
Thank you all for listening. If you made it this far, you're a real one. Go watch the Creed movies if you haven't. You probably have, but just watch movies. I feel like it's always a good movies. Time.
That's what we're trying to do. Watch more movies, get more ideas on what to do for this show. So if you have any ideas for that, we got Paddington 3 coming out this year, right? And so there'll be a big event for that. So if you guys want to get into the Paddington verse, do it as soon as you can, man. We got big 2025 release. It's January of 2025. So okay. Less than a year now. Less than a year.
Yep.
All right. Yep. Thank you all for watching. We'll see ya.
Yep. Love you guys. Deuces.